Chapter 32. Snape and the Marauders. Making up with Hermione wasn't as simple as one conversation, especially with Scabbers missing, but it made Harry feel a little better about the whole mess. Watching the whole school laugh at Draco for a change after Harry won the match for Gryffindor was really lovely, though it was rather ruined by Sirius Black turning up in Harry's bedroom when Harry was too far asleep to fight him. Harry settled for making a mental note to talk to Draco about how, while he appreciated Draco not being more of a Burke than he absolutely had to be, he still needed Draco to understand that being normal levels of awful was going to get himself a Patronus to the face. On second thought, Draco probably learned that already. Back to Black. "What are those spells you cast at the beginning of every afternoon?" Harry asked, watching Snape's practiced wand movements and sharp, quiet words. "Wards against eavesdropping and entry, and one to alert me if anyone tries anything. I didn't live through the last war by being careless." Harry put his bag down and glanced up at his teacher. "Which side of the war were you on, sir?" "Don't ask questions you don't want to know the answers to, boy." Harry tried to decide if he should go for his wand. "I believe I have made myself clear about which side of the upcoming war I will be on," Snape said very softly, "to the people in this room. It will remain unclear to the people outside this room. Do you understand me?"
"No, not really, sir."
"Good. Then we may begin the lesson." It was a subdued review of Potion's history, and Harry found it hard to keep his mind on the task at hand. At the end of the lesson, Snape asked, "Do you trust me, Harry Potter?"
"Not for all the world, sir."
"Then there may yet be hope. You may go." Harry hesitated. "Yes, I do have things to do besides coddle you, child."
"Do you hate Professor Lupin because he's a werewolf, or do you hate werewolves because of Professor Lupin?" Harry asked hurriedly. It'd been bothering him, and he couldn't bring himself to ask Professor Lupin about it, when Professor Lupin was kind to him and always looked very tired. That got an actual smile from Professor Snape.
"An interesting philosophical question. Now when... Granger, I shall have to consider the answer to that one carefully."
"How do you think Black's getting into the castle?" Harry asked, because letting Snape brood about his hatred of his fellow professor seemed like a way for this year's defense appointment to end in murder and or sacking for attempted murder.
"Haven't we covered that?" Snape asked. It took Harry a minute.
"Professor Lupin wouldn't do that."
"You do not know Remus Lupin."
"Good night, sir," Harry said, doubtfully. He'd be late to Quidditch practice if he didn't get on with things, so he left it there.
Sneaking up to Hogsmeade right under Snape's nose did not make Harry feel particularly good about himself as a student. But on the other hand, if he waited to have fun until no one was trying to kill him, he'd be dead and still not having any fun. Harry, feeling hot from their climb, was just considering taking off the cloak for a few minutes when they heard voices nearby. Someone was climbing towards the house from the other side of the hill. Moments later, Malfoy had appeared, followed closely by Crabbe and Goyle. Malfoy was speaking.
"Should have an owl from Father any time now. He had to go to the hearing to tell them about my arm, about how I couldn't use it for 3 months."
Crabbe and Goyle sniggered.
"I asked Father if it might be useful to show mercy as a gesture, but he said it made the headmaster look weak to be unable to save a giant bird."
"Mercy's bad," grunted Crabbe.
"Well, I know that," snapped Malfoy, rolling his eyes.
"Obviously. I just meant the appearance of mercy." I think the cat thing's done something to your brain,
Crab added.
Draco bared his teeth in a snarl.
Say that again,
he hissed. Sorry, Draco,
Crab said, hanging his head.
You're forgiven,
Malfoy sniffed. Malfoy suddenly caught sight of Ron. His pale face split in a malevolent grin.
What are you doing, Weasley?
Malfoy looked up at the crumbling house behind Ron.
I suppose you'd love to live here, wouldn't you, Weasley? Dreaming about having your own bedroom? I heard your family all sleep in one room. Is that true?
Harry seized the back of Ron's robes to stop him from leaping on Malfoy.
Leave him to me, he hissed in Ron's ear.
If this is how Crab is about your kitten problem, he whispered invisibly in Draco's ear, imagine what Ron will do with it.
Draco huffed.
Out of our way, Weasley. You're not worth our time.
Draco stalked away, every inch of his body language furious.
Harry had a bad feeling about this somehow.
What'd you do? Ron asked curiously.
Threatened him.
He won't like that. Core, he'll tell Professor Snape right off.
Oh, blast it.
Harry broke into a run. Back into Honeydukes, back down the cellar steps, across the stone floor, through the trap door, Harry pulled off the cloak, tucked it under his arm, and ran flat out along the passage. Malfoy would get back first. How long would it take him to find a teacher? Panting, a sharp pain in his side, Harry didn't slow down until he reached the stone slide. He would have to leave the cloak where it was. It was too much of a giveaway in case Malfoy had tipped off a teacher. He hid it in a shadowy corner, then started to climb, as fast as he could, his sweaty hands slipping on the sides of the chute. He reached the inside of the witch's hump, tapped it with his wand, stuck his head through, and hoisted himself out. The hump closed, and just as Harry jumped out from behind the statue, he heard quick footsteps approaching. It was Snape. He approached Harry with a swift walk, his black robe swishing, then stopped in front of him.
So, he said.
There was a look of suppressed triumph about him. Harry tried to look innocent, all too aware of his sweaty face and his muddy hands, which he quickly hid in his pockets.
Come with me, Potter, said Snape.
Harry followed him downstairs, trying to wipe his hands clean on the inside of his robes, without Snape noticing. They walked down the stairs to the dungeons, and then into Snape's office. Harry always seemed to be in trouble when he was in Snape's office. Snape had acquired a few more slimy, horrible things in jars since last time, all standing on shelves behind his desk, glinting in the firelight and adding to the threatening atmosphere.
Sit, said Snape.
Harry sat. Snape, however, remained standing.
Mr. Malfoy has just been to see me with a strange story, Potter, said Snape.
Harry didn't say anything.
He tells me that he was up by the Shrieking Shack when he ran into Weasley, apparently alone.
Still, Harry didn't speak.
Mr. Malfoy states that he was standing, talking to Weasley, when your ghostly voice interrupted the conversation. How do you think that could have happened?
Harry tried to look mildly surprised.
I don't know, Professor.
Snape's eyes were boring into Harry's. It was exactly like trying to stare down a hippogriff. Harry tried hard not to blink.
Mr. Malfoy, naturally, reported this extraordinary apparition to me, out of concern for your safety.
There was a long silence.
Maybe he'd better go to Madame Pomfrey, said Harry, if he's hearing things like,
What would your voice have been doing in Hogsmeade, Potter? Said Snape softly.
Your voice is not allowed in Hogsmeade. No part of your body has permission to be in Hogsmeade.
I know that, said Harry, striving to keep his face free of guilt or fear. It sounds like Malfoy is not having hallucinations, snarled Snape, and he bent down, a hand on each arm of Harry's chair, so that their faces were a foot apart. If your voice was in Hogsmeade, so was the rest of you. I've been up in Gryffindor Tower, said Harry. Like you told, can anyone confirm that? Harry didn't say anything. Snape's thin mouth curled into a horrible smile. So, he said, straightening up again, everyone from the Minister of Magic downward has been trying to keep famous Harry Potter safe from Sirius Black, but famous Harry Potter is a law unto himself. Let the ordinary people worry about his safety. Famous Harry Potter goes where he wants to, with no thought for the consequences. Harry stayed silent. Snape was trying to provoke him into telling the truth. He wasn't going to do it. Snape had no proof. Yet. What exactly is your word worth, Potter? Do not seek out Black, I said. Do not travel alone. I didn't do either, Harry said, jerking his chin up. I thought we were beyond playing word games, Mr. Potter. I said I wouldn't seek him out. If he comes to me, if you were going to put yourself as bait for a trap, I expect you to have the sense to provide yourself with more backup than Ronald Weasley. Did you even bring Granger? I'm not telling you anything that'd get me expelled, Harry said severely. You still want me packed up and living with the Dursleys, don't you? You have survived them for nearly 14 years. 3 more and you will be of age and alive. It doesn't matter to you that I hate them. I am not your guardian. If I have taken on the quixotic task of trying to keep your heart beating, it does not mean... Snape trailed off, unusually incoherent. It would not be appropriate, Mr. Potter. That is the place of your father, and he and I were not. Suffice to say that it would probably make both your parents unhappy were you to look to me for happiness. Harry wrestled with this, his parents' ghosts against his happiness, against the Dursleys, against survival. Do you think it would have been better if they'd let Voldemort kill me? He asked abruptly. If they hadn't protected me, they'd be alive. The silence went on for a long time. We will respect your mother's decision in the matter. But we will respect your mother's decision in the matter. Harry took a shaky breath, aware suddenly he'd been holding his breath. Your mother, he thought, adding it to a mental list of questions. Battle light glinted feverish in Snape's eyes, and Harry knew somehow that this was another of those moments that could so easily tip over into violence. Turn out your pockets, Potter, he spat suddenly. Harry didn't move. There was a pounding in his ears. Turn out your pockets or we go straight to the headmaster. Pull them out, Potter. Cold with dread, Harry slowly pulled out the bag of Zonko's tricks and the Marauder's map. Snape picked up the Zonko's bag. That's mine. Perhaps it will teach you something then to lose it. Harry seethed silently. And the other? Harry was silent. I see. I suppose it's a small step up from lying to my face. Snape turned it over, his eyes on Harry. Surely you don't need such a very old piece of parchment, he said. Why don't I just throw this away? His hand moved toward the fire. No, Harry said quickly. So, said Snape, his long nostrils quivering, is this another treasured gift from Mr. Weasley? Or is it something else? A letter, perhaps, written in invisible ink, or instructions to get into Hogsmeade without passing the Dementors? Harry blinked. Snape's eyes gleamed. Let me see. He muttered, taking out his wand and smoothing the map out on his desk. Reveal your secret, he said, touching the wand to the parchment. Nothing happened. Harry clenched his hands to stop them from shaking. Show yourself, Snape said, tapping the map sharply. It stayed blank. Harry was taking deep, calming breaths. Severus Snape, master of this school, commands you to yield the information you conceal, Snape said, hitting the map with his wand. As though an invisible hand were writing upon it, words appeared on the smooth surface of the map. Moony presents his compliments to Professor Snape and begs him to keep his abnormally large nose out of other people's business. Snape froze. Harry stared, dumbstruck at the message, but the map didn't stop there. More writing was appearing beneath the first. Mr. Prongs agrees with Mr. Moony and would like to add that Professor Snape is an ugly git. It would have been very funny if the situation hadn't been so serious. And there was more. Mr. Padfoot would like to register his astonishment that an idiot like that ever became a professor. Harry closed his eyes in horror. When he'd opened them, the map had had its last word. Mr. Wormtail bids Professor Snape good day and advises him to wash his hair. The slime ball. Harry waited for the blow to fall. So, said Snape softly, we'll see about this. He strode across to his fire, seized a fistful of glittering powder from a jar on the fireplace, and threw it into the flames. Lupin, Snape called into the fire. I want a word. Utterly bewildered, Harry stared at the fire. A large shape had appeared in it, revolving very fast. Seconds later, Professor Lupin was clambering out of the fireplace, brushing ash off his shabby robes. You called, Severus? Said Lupin mildly. I certainly did, said Snape, his face contorted with fury as he strode back to his desk. I have just asked Potter to empty his pockets. He was carrying this. Snape pointed at the parchment, on which the words of Messrs. Moony, Wormtail, Padfoot, and Prongs were still shining. An odd, closed expression appeared on Lupin's face. Well, said Snape. Lupin continued to stare at the map. Harry had the impression that Lupin was doing some very quick thinking. Well, said Snape again. This parchment is plainly full of dark magic. This is supposed to be your area of expertise, Lupin. Where do you imagine Potter got such a thing? Lupin looked up and, by the merest half-glance in Harry's direction, warned him not to interrupt. Full of dark magic? He repeated mildly. Do you really think so, Severus? It looks to me as though it is merely a piece of parchment that insults anybody who reads it. Childish, but surely not dangerous. I imagine Harry got it from a joke shop. Indeed, said Snape. His jaw had gone rigid with anger. You think a joke shop could supply him with such a thing? You don't think it more likely that he got it directly from the manufacturers? Harry didn't understand what Snape was talking about. Nor, apparently, did Lupin. You mean by Mr. Wormtail or one of these people? He said. Harry, do you know any of these men? No, said Harry quickly. You see, Severus, said Lupin, turning back to Snape. It looks like a Zonko's product to me. Right on cue, Ron came bursting into the office. He was completely out of breath and stopped just short of Snape's desk, clutching the stitch in his chest and trying to speak.
I gave Harry that stuff, he choked. Bought it in Zonko's ages ago.
Well, said Lupin, clapping his hands together and looking around cheerfully. That seems to clear that up. Severus, I'll take this back, shall I? He folded the map and tucked it inside his robes. Harry, Ron, come with me. I need a word about my vampire essay. Excuse us, Severus.
Do you take me for a fool, Lupin? Snape asked dangerously. Potter and I were not finished with our discussion. He had a couple questions for me about werewolves.
Harry twitched guiltily at the odd, closed look on Lupin's face. He really should have talked to Professor Lupin about that before now.
If Harry has questions about werewolves, I'll be happy to answer them for him, Lupin replied mildly.
But I can speak from experience. After all, his father did think it would be funny to trick me into almost being eaten by one in school. I can't quite remember. Did you find that funny, Lupin?
Ron looked incredibly awkward. Harry felt incredibly awkward. He knew he'd upset Snape, but watching the man take it out on Professor Lupin was awful.
Enough, Severus, Lupin said firmly. We were school children. If you want to talk about our school days, I would be happy to at some other time.
Snape's eyes glittered in his sallow face, and Harry thought very quickly.
I've been working on mixing calming draft and hot chocolate, he interrupted. I thought it'd be a nice change from butterbeer or chocolate bars. For some reason, it makes all the house elves really manic.
Ron made a throat-slitting gesture along the lines of, Are you crazy? Why are you trying to attract his attention?
Heating calming draft disturbs the essence and ferments it, Snape said very slowly. In humans, it causes tremors and visual migraines. You've been testing recipes on house elves, Potter?
Harry grinned, because that was normal teacherly anger, not cool murderous rage. He was getting better at this.
The headmaster will hear about your little escapade, Potter. Go before I lose my temper.
Lupin ushered Harry and Ron hastily out of the room.